This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Monday edition of Invest Talk. So welcome, everybody. Welcome all the radio listeners, streaming, investtalk.com listeners, and, of course, all the podcasters. I thank you for spending this hour with me. I know podcasters listen to me anytime they feel like it. Well, whatever hour you're listening, thanks. Appreciate it. And I hope we can all learn from something from each other. That's why this is a call-in show. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us during this hour. You can do it anytime you want, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But we're live now, 4 to 5 Pacific time, so 888-99-CHART is always the number. But you can get me live right now. We start a new week. And we wrapped up the past one with our premium newsletter subscribers. It comes out every Friday. And I write, it's like 3 or 4 page newsletter every week. And I always start off with the current market condition. And as I look at the forecast by a lot of the CEOs, many of them are not, they're not down. I don't want to say that, but they're not as upbeat as you would think. With the economy, so the quote-unquote, growing nicely, you know, they're not that upbeat about it in general. Of course, there are stocks. It looks like it's going to be a stock picker year. The better you are picking stocks, the better off you'll be because it's just going to be tough. I don't know. We'll have to see how the year goes, but because the CEOs are just, they're not that optimistic in general. So that I talk about that, you know, I talked about the ECB and the, you know, their huge $1 trillion QE that they're going to embark on for the next year, and what effect that's going to have. There's money being flooded in the market. It's going to go somewhere, isn't it? Just like our QE, it went somewhere. Where did it go? It went into the market here in the United States. What about the European money? Where's that going to go? You think it's going to go into Europe? See, I think they have a false sense of hope there. I don't know if that's going to happen. The stock ideas, I gave a couple of funds to look at. Portfolio management, I talked about, this is in the newsletter, it comes out every Friday. Talked about volatility, whipping investors' emotions every which way, and to start maybe focus on the fundamentals of the companies you're buying. Don't be so concerned about everything else. Look at the strength of the company and what a stronger dollar will do, what a QE out of Europe will do to your company that you're investing in, all that kind of stuff. And anyways, I also, you know, I talked about a little bit about deflation. I'm saying that deflation has a little bit of danger out there of us falling into deflation, more so in Europe than here in the United States, but we could fall in deflation. I think the chances are not big or not great, but they're there, and they're getting a little bit better as we're going forward. Look at the prices of all oil. Start there. Then look at other. Look at copper. Look at different commodities. But then again, gold has gone up. Shouldn't gold be going down if the dollar's been going up? That's how it normally reacts. Dollar's going up. Gold's going up with it. Just all that stuff I talk about in the newsletter. You can get it for $9.95 a month if you want to. You can buy 1 month at a time, and you can cancel any time you want. Pretty easy. Just go to investtalk.com to sign up. So what questions do you want to answer today? Let's get to the phone. We can do it now. Get your voice in the mix. Here's a call from our 24-hour listener line. 888-99-CHART is the number. It's ready to catch your question anytime.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Pete from sunny Vegas. The question I have is as follows. I basically have 60% of all of my IRA in 10 different ETFs. They tend to be Vanguard ETFs. I'm comfortable with them. As the market dips on any individual ETF, I buy more of it. The question is, I don't have any bonds. I am not comfortable with bonds. Maybe I don't understand them. But the question I have is, in the bond portion, owning the bond portion, what can one expect to make? In other words, I know in the equities portion, it's probably 8 to 10%. But in the bond portion, don't go back 20, 30 years, because I realize that's based on the interest rate. But what have your clients made in the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years just in the bond portion, only the bond portion? Again, this is Pete signing off. I hope you understand the question. Love your show, guys. Listen to it every single day. Wouldn't miss it for anything. Take care. Have a nice day, guys. Enjoy. Bye-bye.
So in individual bonds, when you buy them and you buy high quality, not junk, triple B plus or higher, you can expect between 3 and 5% yield. And you hold the bonds at maturity, and that's what you're going to get in this environment we're in today. Now, if you go back 10 years, 15 years, and look at the returns of bonds, it's much better than that. But that was during a period where interest rates were coming down the whole time. Okay, now that if the interest rates continue to fall, which is a possibility, you know, they can go negative even, bond values will go up and you'll get a little bit more than 3 to 5%. But if you're just buying the bonds and holding maturity and you're talking about high-quality bonds, corporate bonds, then you're looking at 3 to 5% per year for the next few years. Now, can you get a better bond than that? Sure, you can find some paying more. I mean, we bought one bond just recently that is paying, 8%? You can find them, but they're few and far between. We're talking about average return on the bond. If you buy a bond fund, a mutual fund or ETF, that's about what yield you can expect. Now, the value of the bond fund can go up and down, so you don't know what the overall return is, depending on what direction interest rates go and how long the maturity length is in the bond fund. It drives it up and down. Bonds are not simple. They're not as simple as a stock in many ways. They're a little bit more complex in how they move and what moves them up and down in value. But if you keep it simple and buy the bond and hold it to maturity, you'll know what you'll get exactly. You know, that's the good part about bonds. Okay, for investors who are putting new money to work and don't mind some short-term volatility along the way, you can do some contrarian ideas. Contrarian ideas for 2015. It's going to be one of our talking points today. What are some contrarian ideas? Two come up right at the top of my head, and we're going to talk about that. Also, have you been watching? Apple's going to come out with its earnings tomorrow, and I'm going to be interested about Apple Pay, which they're, you know, paying for things using your phone. And I kind of want to talk about that a little bit. What does it look like it's going? It's only been around 3 months. So what's happening? Greek had their elections yesterday, and their far-left group, anti-austerity group, won big time. What's that going to mean for the EU? Does it even matter? We'll talk about that. Europe and the U.S. are threatening Russia with new sanctions. Have you been noticing what's going on in that part of the world? And, you know, with the Ukraine? Hasn't been on the news, but there's lots of things going on. And Morningstar's five-point retirement checkup. I'm going to talk about a few of those 5 points, not all of them. What are they talking about? And it's really a theme that I've been pushing for some time. For instance, number one, don't spend too much money. Don't spend more than you make. And in retirement, same thing is true. Let's talk about that a little bit more by the end of the show. Hopefully we can get to it.
This is an InvestTalk market update for Monday, February 9th. International markets led the way lower today after weak import numbers from China and comments from the new leadership in Greece, which appeared to set the table for a showdown over the country's debt and bailout terms. The Standard & Poor's 500 slipped 8.73 points. The Dow Industrial Average fell 95.08 points, or about 0.5%. This InvestTalk market update was made possible by KPP Financial, offering four different investment approaches for life's different situations and personal needs. See more about them on InvestTalk.com. Now it's time to call with your question as we get back to this InvestTalk selected replay presentation. The number is 888-99-CHART, and we'll answer your question on the next InvestTalk.
And let's go to Mark in San Bernardino. Hi, Mark.
What are the pros and cons of investing in ETFs versus an index mutual fund? For instance, the spiders versus your typical S&P 500 mutual fund.
In an index fund, remember, you're paying a manager to sit on buying the stocks in an index, the S&P 500 or the Dow or the NASDAQ 100, whatever it is. In a mutual fund, you're paying a manager to sit on those. Your fee is usually much higher than the ETF, like the spiders, the SPY is the S&P 500, the QQQ, that's NASDAQ 100, and the diamonds, DIA, is the Dow Jones 30. The cost is much less, and you can buy and sell them during the day, just like a stock. Whereas a mutual fund, you only get the price at the end of the day. My personal opinion is if you're going to buy index funds, you should probably just go ahead and buy the spiders or the diamonds or the Qs. If you're going to buy an index fund, why not? Appreciate the call.
All right, thank you.
Very good call, Mark. Thanks.
You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm portfolio manager Steve Peasley. If you're looking for a money management solution, I invite you to take a look at our Select Growth Income programs. You know, we have both income programs for individual stocks and bonds, and we have income program for mutual funds as well. We like it because it has lots of flexibility and lots of strength and diversity. You can find more about it on our website at investtalk.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART, contrarian investment ideas for 2015. The two that come to mind almost immediately in my mind are the sectors that everybody hates and are, you know, have been beat up. Number one, of course, would be oil. So, you know, that comes to mind. Another one that has actually been doing well for the month of January, but for 2 years plus, is precious metals. No one likes precious metals. Do you know what contrarian investing means? It means you invest on things that everybody else is dumping or hates, with the idea that after everybody hates it, it has bottomed out and it will start moving up again. And generally that is true. And the question is always, how long is it going to take? And it's very difficult to guess where the bottom is of anything. Where is the bottom? All you can really tell is that everybody doesn't like it now. Okay, because it's been going down, down, down in price. And so you say, okay, well, wait a minute. If everybody doesn't like it now, when at the point where it becomes so cheap that it looks attractive value-wise? And that's, you know, value investing. That's a part of that. And oil is easy because you look at the price of barrel of oil and then you go look at the stocks that are in that industry. And if the price of barrel of oil, you know, it's what, $47? I didn't remember seeing it today. and is that the low? I've read once last week it was going to go as low as $20 a barrel. And I read today it can go as high as $200 a barrel. Well, that's a pretty wide range, right? So is it at the bottom? That's really what you want to know. We want to hear your questions. 888-99-CHARGE, how you can reach us right now with your money topic or anything to do with investing. Are you shopping for a mortgage or a refinancing? Your credit score count can be very important, your credit score. You can save a lot of money or lose a lot of money. Coming up on Invest Talk Personal.
When you're an InvestTalk insider, you have opportunities to learn with concise, simplified reports written personally by Steve on many important topics, annuities, wills and trusts, retirement programs, life insurance, and there's an updated ETF list and much more. Sign up right now on InvestTalk.com, and it's free. You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Dan in San Mateo. How you doing, Dan?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I had a quick question for you.
Sure.
I often hear yourself or Justin or someone on a financial radio show, when someone calls in about a stock, often the recommendation is, well, maybe it's a little expensive, maybe by a couple of dollars or something like that.
Yes.
And my thought was, you know, often you'll say something like, I would buy it at 20 when it's at 24.
Right.
What about instead of, and I was just having this thought, what about instead of waiting for it to go down, go ahead and buy the stock and sell an in-the-money covered call. And that way, if it does go down, great, you own it at a lower price. If it doesn't, you catch the premium while you wait. I mean, is that a reasonable strategy to kind of sell in-the-money covered calls while you wait for something you want to own anyway?
Yes, it's very reasonable. A lot of people do that. A lot of people that have no options do that. And a lot of technicians do that. They don't just buy it at the price. If they want to own the stock, but they feel more comfortable buying it at a lower price, they will do that. I've seen it happen many, many times. Yes, that's a reasonable strategy.
Okay.
So as long as you're comfortable owning the stock, because it can go down, you could be, you know, then you pick up the stock, but then it can go down more. So you want to make sure you're comfortable owning that stock. That's the stock you want, and that's the price you want to buy it at.
Okay, I'm just curious, because usually the recommendation is I would buy it at a lower price. I mean, not you only. I mean, everyone, Justin and other really intelligent financial advisors say that. Mm-hmm. I wonder why they never recommend, well, I'd buy it at 24 and sell a call at 20, you know, something like that.
Well,
I wonder why that's never given out.
The reason why they don't do it is because now we have to get into explaining what options are, and it gets more confusing. And the average person doesn't want to hear it. Not that the money manager doesn't think it's a good idea. It's just that, remember, it's a radio show, so you got to keep it fairly simple.
Okay? Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks.
Appreciate that. Yeah, you try not to talk over people's head. You want to answer the questions simply, so everybody, you know, if you start doing, well, why don't you do a option straddle strategy here? Why not, on this, it gets very complex and not for the average person. Marty, Tracy, how you doing?
Yeah, my question is on stocks that have like a 12-month cycle. If you were to buy those like when, like say, at the low end and some at the high end, do you have to keep them for at least a year in order to pay less capital gains tax? Or?
Yes. The rule is, Marty, that within 12 months, if you buy and sell a stock within 12 months, you have to pay, if you have a gain, you pay the tax rate of your ordinary income tax rate. If you hold it for 12 months or longer, then it reverts to 15%. You never have to pay more than 15%. So if you're coming up close to 12 months on something, you know, you kind of like, you got to wait. Should I sell it? Maybe I should hold on to it for another few days or a few weeks, you know.
Exactly, because I've been looking at a lot of stocks that do that, and I'm just curious if I should try to get into them. I'm waiting for them to be at their lows.
Be wise to wait to buy them at good buy point. You know, the overall rule, Marty, is always buy the stock at a good buy point. You know, taxes will take care of themselves. You don't worry about that until you get close to the 12 month. Then you start thinking about it. Okay, Marty, appreciate the call.
You work hard for your money. Why isn't it working harder for you?
In looking at the chart, do you have to look at this the opposite of like a normal stock?
Ask your question. 888-99-CHART is the number. This is Invest Talk on radio and investtalk.com. Our listener line is open 24/7 for your questions. Hear the answer live on radio and online 4 to 5 or the playback anytime on investtalk.com.
Al and Sylvie, how you doing, Al?
I have a managed account with your firm, I'm putting the maximum in a 401k, and I'm holding a couple of stocks that I've had forever.
Okay.
Can I benefit from a Roth? Would that it lessen my taxes in the future? And what kind of investments can I put into a Roth? Can I put I bonds, municipals, T-bonds, T-bills?
Yes, you can put anything you want in a Roth. You can put anything you want in an IRA, almost anything you want in both. How old are you?
I'm 44.
Okay.
The stocks that I've been holding, can I roll those into a Roth? I've had them forever.
Where are they now?
They're just in a reinvestment plan.
No, I don't think you can roll any positions into a Roth or a regular IRA from a normal account.
have to put in cash, then buy what you want from them.
Okay.
The answer to your question is yes. Why do I say yes for everybody else? A Roth is something that you open up, a Roth IRA versus a regular IRA. You put money in there after tax. Whereas a regular IRA, your money you put in there, you don't have to pay income tax on. The reason why I'm telling you yes, Al, is because when you get to retirement, and the reason why I asked you your age,
yes, sir.
How many years you got left, okay?
Right.
But when you reach retirement, and you hinted at it, when you're 65, what if you're still working part-time somewhere, and you still, but you want to take money, you need money from your IRA account, it would be wiser to take money out of the Roth then, because you won't have to pay any taxes or income taxes on that money,
right,
while you're paying income tax on the money that you're making, you're earning. When you eventually fully retire, well, not, the assumption is that you're going to be in less tax brackets. You're trying to keep the lowest taxes. Then you can start taking from your regular. It
from
gives
the regular.
It gives you the freedom to pick and choose.
Okay.
I appreciate the call.
I really appreciate your time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
S&P downgrades Russia's sovereign credit rating to junk. Did you see that? I wrote that down. I wanted to mention that today. That's one of the headlines from our news feed section on the homepage of InvestTalk.com. Is that something you'd like to talk about? 888-99-CHART is how to reach us. You can do it right now here on InvestTalk.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on InvestTalk. Listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. Apple Pay is 3 months old. Remember, it came out with the new iPhones? And we know that the bigger iPhone, is selling like hotcakes, much better than everybody expected. And Apple's coming out with its earnings tomorrow. But I want to talk about Apple Pay. Apple Pay, to me, is the one thing that could really be a game changer if it is successful. A game changer for Apple. Okay? And so I've been trying to keep tracks on how it's doing. There's about 200,000 locations in which you can pay by using your phone. And there's been hints that it's gaining traction. Now, there's been mobile wallets kinds of things before, and no one ever used them. The consumers never wanted them, never liked them, but Apple has this cachet about it that everybody wants to use their stuff. And since earnings are coming out tomorrow, we might get a hint on how well that is taken up. And have you seen the commercials on TV, different commercials on different products about Apple Pay? It's like McDonald's or something. They talk about Apple Pay. So if Apple can get the vendors to talk about it in their commercials, it will be huge. I think it'll be a huge earner for Apple if it gains more and more and more traction. And that's really the key. How much traction is it going to gain? No one really knows. I don't, but I'm upbeat about it because I think Apple's very good about marketing these kinds of things. The marketing's always been excellent. And the consumers have to have an idea, well, why do I need to use that for? What? Well, young people, you and I are who are 50s and 60s, we probably don't see a lot of benefit, but young people like the idea. They're not in love or attached to their credit cards like we are.
This is an InvestTalk market update for Monday, February 9th. International markets led the way lower today after weak import numbers from China and comments from the new leadership in Greece, which appeared to set the table for a showdown over the country's debt and bailout terms. The Standard & Poor's 500 slipped 8.73 points. The Dow Industrial Average fell 95.08 points, or about 0.5%.
This InvestTalk Market Update was made possible by KPP Financial, offering four different investment approaches for life's different situations and personal needs. See more about them on InvestTalk.com. Now it's time to call with your question as we get back to this InvestTalk Selected Replay presentation. The number is 888-99-CHART, and we'll answer your question on the next InvestTalk.
Let's go to Suraj. How are you doing, Suraj, in Fremont?
I'm fine, thanks.
Thanks for calling.
I have 401k question.
Sure.
Generally, I reach a maximum limit by August, September time period every year. So is there any other options available where we can invest our pre-tax money?
Pre-tax money. You know, there's only the 401k. If you max out that, you're kind of stuck. If you do that, then you can't open up an IRA. You can't put up a Roth. You can't do anything. You're stuck. You max it out in your retirement 401k. You can put less in the 401k and open up an IRA, but as long as you don't make too much money salary-wise. But okay. No, Suraj, you're kind of stuck when you max out your 401k. Unless you're self-employed. Are you self-employed?
No, I work for a company.
Okay. See, if you're self-employed, you can set up a different kind of retirement plan. But if you work for a company, you're kind of stuck. Sorry, Suraj.
All right.
Thank you. It's time for InvestTalk Personal, about the day-to-day money choices that can impact our lives, your lives, everybody's lives for years and years to come. Is your credit score ready for mortgage shopping? Many of us are confused about how credit scores are determined. The current landscape is very appealing for consumers who have solid credit scores and can put down a substantial down payment. You're going to get a really good rate, right? Your mortgage rate. So you need to check out your credit score. First step is to check it out. There's free ways to do it. You don't have to, you don't have to pay for it. Next, click on your credit reports and check it out for errors and fraud. Make sure it's clean. The National Consumer Law Center says 25% of consumer credit reports contain errors, significant enough to cause a denial of credit. Okay, that's big. Now, how do you prove your credit scores? You pay your bills on time, reduce your use of credit cards as much as possible. Your payment history, by the way, amounts for about 65% of your credit score. 65% based on your payment history. Try not to screw that up. Build up your savings. Put a bigger down payment. You know, I'm death on mortgages in retirement, and I don't want you to buy more house than you can really afford. Do you know the rule of thumb on that? How much can you afford on the monthly payment? About a third of your income. Anything above that, you're buying more house than you can really afford. And finally, think about credit cards. They are the most efficient credit building tools available to consumers. I use credit cards all the time. I just don't carry any debt month to month. But I use the credit card. Think about doing that. That builds credit, builds good credit score, and you don't carry on debt you're paying huge interest on. And that's InvestTalk Personal. Do you have a topic you'd like for me to cover? Just let me know. Click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com.
It could be the most enlightening 5 minutes you'll spend this year. Use our risk analysis tool. It'll help you gauge your risk tolerance. And it could be the first step in a retirement portfolio remake. It's free, and it's right here on InvestTalk.com.
Let's go to David in Chula Vista. How are you doing, David?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I got a question about a local company, the ServiceNow, that's going to be going public soon.
Uh-huh.
I like what the company does. Haven't got a chance to dive into fundamentals yet. But how long would you generally wait before starting to get involved with something like this?
If a company comes out IPO, trying to buy it on the first day is very, very difficult, Dave. Because, you know, that many times if the IPO market's hot, it comes out, they say, well, it's going to be $14 a share, and the first trade is $18. You know, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You and I can't get it at $14. You know, we're buying it from the people who got it at $14. They're selling to us at $18. They've already made a huge profit, and they're out. So
yeah, and then I'm stuck with it at a high point.
Exactly. So that's why I tell people, stay away from it. Usually, wait till 6 months. And this is why, David. After 6 months, the insiders are now allowed to sell some shares. They are precluded from doing that for about 6 months. In other words, they have to hold on. The insiders have to hold on to the shares for about 6 months.
Oh, okay.
So what you see after about 6 months, generally speaking, starting a little bit before 6 months, is the stock starts trading down back close to its IPO price very often. Very often.
Okay, that makes sense. I'll sit tight and then take a look then.
Yeah, just keep watching. Thanks, David. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
We're going to go to Dennis in Richmond. Hi, Dennis. How are you doing?
Thank you for taking my call. Got a question for you. What do you know about private equity? I've got...
They scare me. How's that?
Okay.
You know, there's obvious reasons. Private equity means that someone's trying to produce money to build a company, to run a company, to manage a company, and their idea is eventually to take it public. When it does, you as a private equity investor, you're buying shares while it's private,
right,
in the company. And while it's private, you know, it's what's its value? Its value, whatever, maybe the company's worth something, maybe it's not. It's hard to know because you got to find someone else to buy it from you, you personally. But once it goes public, you can cash in big, and that's the whole attractiveness of it.
Uh-huh.
So why? You have someone to offer you a private equity thing, Dennis?
Yeah.
I get those all the time.
Yeah.
You're going to do it?
Well, I haven't decided yet.
The biggest thing on these, Dennis, is do you know the people? Do you trust the people? If you don't know them, I would walk away. If you know them very well and you know all about that business, then you have special knowledge, then you could do it.
Yeah.
But they are so good. The brochures and everything looks so good. And I would run the other way if these are just out of the blue and you don't, you know, there's someone just found you. Run.
Right. Well, I have to get my running shoes then.
Okay. I've just seen too much of this stuff go sour. That's why. Just too much. I'd say 9 out of 10 go bad. You lose all your money.
Yep.
But that one tenth, that one, you could be a multimillionaire. That's the why it's why it's attractive sometimes.
Okay. I don't think my luck is that good.
Yeah, I'd run.
Okay.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate the call.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. 888-99-CHARGE is our number. Okay, Greece had elections over the weekend, and their far left, I don't know what they call it, Syriza party took 150 seats. To be a majority, it needs 151. So they had a huge victory there. And their whole platform is, we don't want austerity anymore. We want our free stuff. We don't want to be paying back these loans. We want free stuff. We want lower taxes. Give us stuff. And see, the problem is the Greeks have got drunk on their free stuff. And they kept borrowing money and borrowing money so they can give their citizens free stuff. Sound familiar? You can't do it forever. So what happened is they got so in debt, that they needed a bailout. And they were part of the EU. And that probably they should have never let them in the EU in the first place because of their debt problems. But that's another question. And the EU or the ECB and the Troika, the three groups that bailed them out. Now, Greece doesn't want to pay it back. Remember, they took 60% haircuts on the debt already. Do you remember that? Huge haircuts on the sovereign debt that Greece had. They took a 60%, they meaning the bondholders at the time, took a 60% haircut to restructure their debt. Now they don't want to pay the 40% they agreed to pay. They don't want to do that now. Now, what does this mean for the rest of Europe? Probably very little. What does it mean for Greece? They probably are still going to pay the debt. They probably are still going to look at austerity. But what they're probably going to do is they're going to be a lot of talking and stamping their feet, and they'll probably need to renegotiate that debt. That's what I think they're going to do, even though Germany is not going to want to do it. I don't think I would do it either. Look, we bailed you out once. Now we've got to bail you out again? What's wrong with you people? You know, get your act together. But what that is going to mean for markets, stock markets, it could be volatility is what that means. I just don't think... Yeah, it's kind of ho-hum. Do you notice the whole world response was ho-hum? Yeah, okay, so. Yeah, very different than a few years ago when things were problems with Greek and they had debt issues. Very different.
annuities, asset allocation, reading stock market trends, building a truly balanced portfolio. If it's important to you and you want to know more about it, we're here for you. 888-99-CHART.
Hey guys, it's Kyle calling from Raleigh. I listen to you via podcast. I just want to say I really love your show. What exactly are market makers and what exactly do they do? Do they just provide liquidity? And if you're a market maker, I mean, how can you lose? Thanks. I look forward to hearing your answer on the next program. Bye.
Okay, good question. What are market makers? And if you're a market maker, how can they lose? And you answered your own question. Market makers do provide liquidity. Okay, let's talk about, let's get down to brass tacks here. A market maker is someone on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Well, they're not so much on the floor anymore, but they used to be. But they're still there, you know, not on the floor. They're on a computer terminal somewhere. And what happens is they will make a market in a stock, and usually they're assigned more than one stock. And this is how you become a member of the New York Stock Exchange, you see. You buy it and have the right to. And what that means when you make a market, let's say you're a market maker for, Microsoft. I don't care. It doesn't matter who they are. First Solar. And you're the market maker for that. What you do is you're the one that watched the trades come in. This is what a market maker used to do. Now we move to electronic trading. They're... duties, there's arguments that really don't need them anymore, and there's a lot of places where they're not used. But a market maker is a guy, a girl, doesn't matter who it is, who takes their orders in, someone wants to buy a stock, and then they go and see who wants to sell it, and they try to match them up. If there is no liquidity, no one wants to sell it, or no one wants to buy it, they have to sell it or buy it. To keep the market liquid, to keep it moving, to make sure that things happen. Now, how can they lose? Well, let's say they take ownership of a stock and it keeps going down and down and down and down, and they hold on to it. They could lose. Generally, they don't hold on to it very long at all. I mean, they will find that their job is to find a market and to sell it, to move things along. They're just like the gatekeeper. Come on. Here, buyer, seller, buyer, seller. And sometimes when they take possession, they'll make a few pennies in the transition, and that's what a market maker does. And as I said, this day and age of electronic trading, many people say, why do we need those people? One of the reasons why we need those people is because when the market crashes or gets illiquid, it freezes up, and the prices just collapse. Now you got electronic trading, and then you got the high frequency trading. You got all kinds of things going on that is different than it used to be in the traditional sense. And market makers may not be needed. I don't know. InvestTalk is here to be a ready resource for the average investor. I'm portfolio manager Steve Peasley. Give us a call if you'd like to talk. 888-99-CHART is my number. If you'd like to learn your true tolerance for risk, for instance, you can click on the blue box on investtalk.com and get a free risk analysis, how much risk you'd like to take. Answer a few questions, just very easy, very quick. Give it a try. It's on our homepage, investtalk.com.
Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial. And here's a question for you. What's the difference between a managed mutual fund and a professional money manager? Well, maybe that's something you should ask Steve about. You can ring through anytime at 888-99-CHART, and he'll answer your question on the next podcast. You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Let's go to Eddie in Sacramento. Hi, Eddie. How you doing?
Good afternoon. Mm-hmm. If it's not going to teach me how to make money in the market, where in the heck do I find out the information and get the knowledge that investors acquire?
Very good question.
You need to start reading. Now, I know that doesn't sound exciting, but I'll give you a couple of books that you can look at that you can get out of the library or buy, and it's kind of for the beginners, very easy reads by people who have been in the industry, who've been very successful, and they're written in a fashion to try to give you a feel for how this works.
Okay.
Go to our website at vesttalk.com. A couple of very good books is 1,000 Miles from Wall Street by Tony Gray. And if you can't write these down, you can go to our website. We record our shows at besttalk.com, and you can listen to it. Common Stocks and Uncommon Profits by Kenneth Fitcher. And Peter Lynch has a very good book, Beating the Wall Street. Or I would suggest you start with those books. They're very easy, and it kind of gives you a good idea of how this stuff works. And if I can give you one kind of rule of thumb, buy stocks that make money. There's too many story stocks, too many hot tips. Don't do any of that.
Uh-huh.
Buy stocks that have good earnings and are growing their earnings. That's a very simple thing to do. And you can find that out by most websites. So I started trying to read a little bit on some of these books, get a feel for how the market works and why this stock or that industry works and goes up. And you really can teach yourself if you have the interest.
What kind of money can a person expect to make in the market?
There is an element and a feeling of gambling in the stock market. There is that there. Think about it this way. When you're buying a stock, you're buying a piece of that company. If that company is making a lot of money, you're the owner of that company. The action of the stock price may go up or down. You don't know. But if the company is making money over a period of time, the price of stock may fluctuate differently than the earnings. So what you want to do is focus on the earnings, because eventually the stock price will go up to reflect that increased earnings. It may take time. People think they can get in, get rich quick, and then get out. That's not how it is in the stock market. That's how it was in the 1990s, but not anymore. The stock market is going to return you, on average, 10% a year, including dividends, because it has for 70 years. Okay?
Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Okay, remember, we love beginner questions, so we welcome your question at 888-99-CHART. Now, what is the question?
You told us some time ago a couple of methods to figure the value of a stock. Would you repeat those for me?
Certainly. I'd be happy to, Jay. There's two very easy ways. Now, these, of course, are not the only ways, Jay.
Yeah.
But these are two very easy, quick ways to do it, so you can get an idea if you're overpaying or underpaying for a stock. The first one is takes next year's earnings per share. Next year's earnings per share. Let's say it's $1 per share next year. Not this year, the future. You want to know what the future is. And let's say that earnings per share grew 20%. So this year, maybe the earnings per share is 85 cents, and next year it's going to be $1, and it grew about 20%.
Okay.
All you do is take 20, times next year's earnings per share of $1, and that stock is worth about $20.
Where do you get those numbers?
There's a number of places. They're all over the internet. You go to MSN Money. You can go to Yahoo Finance. And all these will give you earnings projections for next year and tell you what the earnings are this year per share.
I see.
And then all you do is look at it and say, oh, okay. They may not give you the percentage, but they'll tell you, okay, the company made 72 cents per share this last year, and the analysts expected to go to earn $1.20 next year. Well, gee, well, how much is that? That's 50 cents. That's about an 80% increase.
Yep.
80 times next year's earnings per share, that's the stock price. That's the number one. The second one is, you should never pay more than about 2 times the market capitalization for the sales that the company is making. So let's say the company is selling $1 billion worth of product.
Yep.
And the total market capitalization is $5 billion. What is a market capitalization? Simple number. It's a number of shares outstanding times the price of the shares. That number is $5 billion, and they're only selling $1 billion. That means that's more than 2 times sales. That's not a very good number. Never pay more than 4 times sales. That's a very bad number. So that just gives you an idea of the overall bigness and how much sales to relationship is. And that's important relationship. Those are two ways to evaluate a stock.
Very fine.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before we close up for the hour, remember, you can sign up now for our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference on February 7th. The upside of lower oil prices. We've been talking about it for several weeks now. It's February 7th in San Jose at the Hyatt House. Just go to investtalk.com.
I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, I thank you for listening today, and let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.